The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast is just doing something extraordinary. We're not sure what it is right now, but Tatum Bull is available for rides at Sandown. I've just been informed. So if you want Tatum Bull to ride anything, then just contact her because she claims three in the big smoke. Nah, look, so is Lachie Neindorf. He's available as well. So it's all coming through on the waiver wise, Kingy, as are the Cats.
Yes.
After their explosive effort after quarter time against the Bombers.
I tell you what, they resembled Tom Lonergan on the Cat Attack podcast last week. Just slow to warm into it. But when he took off, bang, away they went.
Oh, he just found three lengths, didn't he? Mm. He didn't even need a tickle around the rump.
No.
He just was sort of slight hands and heels urging. And then imagine what would happen if he had a copped one around the rump, Len Dittman from Len Dittman, like he did in Gurner's Lane. If you watch the footage of Gurner's Lane winning the Melbourne Cup,
he's
got up on the rail, never went round an animal, and won the cup. But if he was riding that today, he would be suspended for, quite a conceivably long period of time, given he hit the thing more than the Montague Street Bridge.
82.
He was a good beast, the old Gurner's Lane. I think Kiwi won in 83, came from last with Jim Cassidy aboard.
A lot of love for Domsey last week.
Can I just
give you a little bit of this off the Cat Attack podcast? This is from Go You Catters. Outstanding contribution from our former esteemed number 13. Just keeps bringing quality to the club, even though he's no longer out there giving his all in the hoop. Such an unassuming, honest and consummate clubman. Clearly loved by everyone around the place, so it's great to see him involved with the Falcon set up now and putting back into the coalface to keep our club's future bright. Turkey Tom, only part of the way through, but the story on Francis Evans was great. Rosso, loved the chat with Domsey on last week's podcast. Would love to have more content like this. And then there's a question to come for a little bit later.
Yeah, well, how are we going to get that, Kingy? That's your department.
Well, hang on, this is your podcast.
Yeah, it is too. No, but you're more sort of hands on the wheel. I'm more sort of hanging out the back.
For dear life.
Yes.
I suspect we might start moving into that space of ex-players potentially just coming in and giving us a little bit of
Why don't we get Brad Ottens in? Did he play on the weekend?
He played on the weekend with Castanen, and I think they had a win.
He played with
Rookie and Matty Stokes.
He'd be fun to get on, Brad. He's a bit of a light-hearted sort of conveyance.
Peter Riccardi is an acquaintance of
We'd love to get Rico on.
Cam Mooney would quite happily roll in and have a chat to us. Tell us who you'd like to hear
from. You need to stop eating. That would be very annoying, eating lollies.
Oh, the minty. Sorry.
That's not ideal. If I want someone rings you, you know when they ring you and then they're eating something? I just hang up.
Do you really?
I just refuse to speak to people who are eating at the same time. Because all you can eat is... So I just go... Off.
Chewing cut. Yeah,
people might be doing that listening to you.
Yeah, they might be. I apologise. Tell us who you'd like to... Because there is a vast amount of ex-player... floating around in the Geelong and surrounding areas.
Yeah, but they're not all accessible. I mean, if somebody says Stephen Reynoldson, we could probably get him on the blower.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about those who live in the region. Like, tell us who you'd like and we'll be able to sift through.
Do you know who would be good?
Who we've
had on K-Rock previously in terms of a pre-game interview, who was quite good, was Neville Bruns.
Nifty.
Yeah.
Well, he's still living locally.
Well, I don't have no idea.
I think he is. He used to live in Clifton. He used to have...
I remember him at the
Neville,
time.
Neville Bruns sports power.
Yeah, he did. And but he was quite good to in our pre-game interview. He's probably going back, maybe. I reckon it was when Narkle, because we were talking about the number 19, and I don't know if Narkle was making his debut, but he's one that I sort of thought of that's a little bit left field, and if we could tee up sort of Gary Ablett Senior, that shouldn't be an issue.
I tried to get Gary Ablett Junior.
Playing something? Is he selling the red wine with Gaz?
I believe so.
Yeah, the John Devine. What are they? What do you reckon it'd be? What do you reckon Gaz would sort of produce in the vat?
He'd be a Cab Sav sort of arrangement, I reckon.
When you think about it, I actually thought about it, Kingy, after the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't... I don't think we really mentioned it during the K-Rock call, but Essendon were really good. Geelong were probably always, in those conditions, were probably always going to be slightly better suited than Essendon. Now, I know Merritt... Merritt and Parrish played phenomenal games. Yep. But they're not your bash and crash inside type players. Essendon don't really have that sort of player. No. Shield not playing. You know, Joe Watson's obviously moved on.
No McGrath.
Yeah, they don't have that inside player. So Geelong, when you thought about it, were probably always going to overpower them in the middle.
Hence why Patrick Dangerfield should have won the Best on Ground Award. Now, I found out there were five voters on the panel, and I found out that one of those who voted did not give Patrick Dangerfield a vote.
At all?
No.
Who is it?
No, I don't know who the voter was, but I just know that one of those...
Who were the five voters?
I know I was one of them.
You gave him three.
I gave him three.
Who were the other voters?
I know Lachie Young voted.
Lachie Young from the Addy.
Yep. But I don't know who the other three
who
were.
Who did he vote for?
No, I don't know.
You're not allowed to say, eh? Is it like sort of going to witness protection?
Usually they release who the votes came from and went to.
Apparently whoever didn't put Danger in for a vote actually asked for those not to be released for fear of being run out of town.
Yeah. So you guys were taking the... P155.
I wasn't.
Well, Neilty was.
Yeah, I was.
Neilty was after the game. I thought Dangerfield had the bigger influence on the game in a team that won by seven goals.
This is where I sort of hate these sort of... They both played well. I mean, you could have given it to either of them and I wouldn't have cared less.
But Neilty seemed to think that I'd...
Yeah, but that's new. He likes to sort of get up on his little high horse and, you know, he also suggested that Zach Guthrie's in the best 800 footballers in Australia. Just because purely because he's on an AFL list. And I'm not having a go at Zach Guthrie. You know, good on him. But I don't know that just because you're on an AFL list suddenly gives you rise to be or claim to be in the best 700. I'm sure there's players out there playing Sandful, Waffle, VFL, who potentially, given the chance, would be better players than Zach Guthrie.
It isn't all rainbows and sunshine, though, Benny, because Cameron.
The five went off, didn't he?
Yeah.
We're used to the five going off a bit, because the previous five used to... Well, we never saw him, but when he was out there, he used to come off.
Yeah. Three goals, which, in the end, if he doesn't play, did Geelong get beaten? Like, he was the one that got them going?
I don't know. They won by seven goals. No, he was very good. That was one of the better games. And you know that I'm not always... on the Patrick Dangerfield bandwagon.
No.
I don't just jump on and then sort of ride it, you know, hands and heels.
No, you can...
I sometimes like to snag back in behind them and just... Because I sometimes think his possessions, in certain games, his weight of possession doesn't actually reflect the influence he had on the game, which can quite often be not as what you would think it might be, given he might have high 30s. Whereas last Friday night, I thought he had a massive influence on the game, including something that you don't see very often from him. And this is my, you know, it's hard to criticise a player as good as Patrick Dangerfield, but the one area of his game where he is, well, there's two areas where he's probably not elite. One
kicking.
Is his kicking, yeah. The other one is sort of, is his creativity. Mm. He's not a creative player. He's a absolute bull, and there's very few in the comp, if any, who can win the footy like he does. He's a very good overhead mark for his size, and he's a burst player that can do things that most can't, and I love all that. But he doesn't... You think of creative. Dustin Martin is as creative as it gets.
Yep.
Handball, foot, he can open it up. But last Friday night, there was a passage of play where Dangerfield got it on the wing, and he looked forward, and there wasn't much there. There were sort of two Essendon players and one Geelong player, which was way outside his field of vision over to his left. And he kicked it about 45 metres across, deliberately, across to, I think it might have been Isaac Smith who marked it, out on sort of at half forward. And it's not something you see him do that often, but that says to me that he's starting to see the game again really well. And it was really good to see.
Because you've got to cut the bloke some slack. He was only playing, what, his sixth game for the year?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if people were being harsh on Patrick Dangerfield's contribution this year, I'm not saying you, but if you were, you're six games, you've got to find your feet.
And he had syndesmosis,
yes,
which is hard to overcome.
Yes.
Unless you're having it with a lamb corn.
and a bit of naan.
Yeah, and a garlic naan. Oh, you know what? You took me to task when I said rotty bread, right?
Yeah.
When I said...
It's more a Thai.
It is, but when I had Indian, I had Indian.
Yeah.
I had Injun on Monday.
Yep.
From my local Injun.
Down in Warrnambool?
No.
No? Were you back here?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was back in there.
What's your local Indian?
I don't even know what it's called.
I'm Cohenor in Mallop Street, Magnificent.
Yeah, no, I'm more... I'm
sorry, yeah, Mallop Street. I'm
Packington
sorry.
Street.
Yep.
There's one down the end there near the Telegraph.
I was in the old 400 Degrees, where you used to cook your own steak on the... They'd bring the steak out. And
yes.
On the sizzler plate, you do it yourself.
Correct.
Which was actually very nice.
Yes, no, that's... It's the engine there.
Right.
And What was I talking about?
Syndesmosis. Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah, so anyway, there was rotty on the menu. Right. And I thought, hang on, I got absolutely towed up on the radio for saying rotty.
It's more a Thai.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, I'd rotty.
Yeah, it's nice. With a little bit of, if you get the satay dip with it, magnificent.
Yeah, it's all diet.
Yeah. Yeah. Low GI.
It is. Or everything's low something. no gluten.
The other positive.
Have you ever had gluten? I'm about to embark on a gluten-free.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are they for?
Do you reckon I might sort of, you know, fade away to a blimp? What's going to happen to my setup, do you reckon?
Oh, I've no idea.
Do you reckon I might pass less wind?
I would hope so.
It's going to be more expensive. They reckon that the average gluten-free diet adds around about $80 a week to your budget because everything gluten-free is more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So right. I could be eating lettuce leaves, but there's gluten-free beer.
Is there?
I don't know whether there's mid-strength gluten-free beer. I'm going to find out though very soon.
Possibly.
Like in about 2 hours.
Possibly the hard way. Yeah. The other highlight of the night is, and Mitch Duncan predicted this pre-game.
Hunky-dunky,
when he was standing next to the big number 26. He goes, you know, conditions weren't great, but as we know, exposed form says, the heavier the track. Tom Hawkins is like Sub-Zero Melbourne Cup 1992.
He is very good. And that goal he kicked where he roved the spoil from Draper.
Mm.
That was fantastic player. Yeah. Look, he's in. He's just seeing it well, his big Tom. He's on fire. And it's hard to believe that he used to once be a whipping boy.
Mm.
He used to make my blood boil.
292 games. So 293 this week. So he goes past Milburn this week. Top half a dozen at the Cats. Going to be a 300 game player come finals time, which is unbelievable. There's a couple of milestones this week.
Henderson, Darren Milburn, I reckon his dad, who the Milburns are partial to a little bit of a Rex Hunt.
Yeah.
And there was a quaddy a couple of weeks ago. So it might have been 3 weeks ago on a Saturday. Oh, it was a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very juicy. It was very, very juicy.
Yes, Mr. Milburn.
He may have had 94% of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it might have been a five-figure payout.
Yeah, it was more than that. Mm. Yeah. Well,
it was
significantly more than just tipping over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a real sort of eyeball popper.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Lockie Henderson, 200th game. Not a bad effort for a bloke who was going to finish on about 170 odd.
Yeah, he's been good. I'm still maintaining, I just get a little, the valves get a little tight against the really good teams.
Yeah.
Against the really good forwards.
Mm.
Interestingly that Blitzer was played in defence.
Started.
Yeah.
It didn't last long.
No, he did, but he did start in defence at fullback on.
Be interesting on this week on Mackay.
Big H-bomb.
Yep.
He could set fire to Big Lockie.
He could.
He's a big boy. See, this is where I just love Blitzars to be there, but he's not. What do you reckon they go with Stanley or bring back the Savaloy?
Well, no Cameron, and I think they're going to bring Radaglia and play Radaglia
up forward
with Hawkins and Rowan.
As a foil.
And Stanley gets.
It's a pretty good position to be in when you. I mean, I know Radaglia is not Cameron.
No.
But it's a handy position to be in when you've got somebody like Radaglia who can come in and play as a key forward.
Yep. O'Connor to come back.
Yeah.
Higgins more than likely will
come
play
back
as
in.
Well.
No relation out.
He'd be a bit stiff, no relation.
Now he'd be out, surely. Out. Got to go out. You see snippets of players?
Yep.
Concerned about his kicking? No relation?
Yeah.
He missed an absolute pud from the directly in front.
He did, yes.
And then he kicked the ball forward. And I know it was only two kicks, but I'm not sure that he's a really elite kick.
Yep. So, but he might keep his spot as the 23rd man.
No, he couldn't, surely.
Don't you think?
I don't understand. Why I don't know why he's... And I'm not against it, but I don't understand. You know, they make players work for... I don't know why he's getting games. He's not really up to it. I think they're throwing... Are they doing him more harm than good? Because he's really struggling when he comes on.
He finished with eight possessions. Three kicks, five handballs, three marks.
And two of the kicks... One was Mr. Sitter. The other one he kicked nearly out in the full. Mm. So he had one effective kick. Mm. And look, he hopefully will be a very, very good player. I just don't know that he's... It's great to give him games, I suppose. How is it affecting him? You know, is he a confident kid? I mean, they'll know all that, but he's not really contributing. So, you know, he's getting a game, yet guys like Constable and even, I know Narkle's been playing, but, you know, are not getting games at times. I don't know, just sort of seems a little skew-iff to me, but anyway, smarter people than me are involved, Tom.
100 games for Sam Manigola.
Yeah, that's a good effort, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's been, he's good. He's just one of those guys you pray he stays fit, because when he's not fit and he's sort of coming back fresh, he takes 3 weeks or so to find his feet. But when he's one of those blokes that just thrives on playing.
Yeah, but I would disagree with that. Like, he didn't. His game back against Melbourne, he had 26. Against North Melbourne, he had 28. And
yeah, but it's not the number of possessions. It's his ability to impact the game and the way he thinks his way through. It's not. He can find the ball okay because he's a gun runner, but it's just more of his decision making and his ball use. It seems to go off when he's not playing week by week.
His game against the Bulldogs underrated. 27 kicked 2. Yeah. 17 contested.
Yeah, he was very good.
Season high five clearances.
He's a very important player for the Cats, just in the way that he can run and get help out in defence. So he's not a high profile player, but he plays a role and he plays it very well. Very much like. He's probably a better version of Camden McIntosh for Richmond.
Yep.
Who plays the same sort of role.
Yep.
And I reckon Manigola is better than McIntosh. And McIntosh is an underrated sort of lower profile player at Richmond who gets picked every week.
100 games for Zach Tui in the hoops as well.
Yeah, well, that's old Reg.
Yep.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff, isn't it?
He's been good pick up for the Cats.
Yeah.
And the club don't just rate what he does on the field. They rate him off the field as well. Like, he's just a good clubman.
Yep.
And I think Carlton didn't realise what they were losing. They knew they were losing a good player, but I don't know whether they realised they were losing a good clubman as well when he departed. So I reckon they would look back on that and go, well,
he wanted to leave. I don't think they wanted him to go.
Yeah, but how hard did they try to?
Well, I think he wanted to go because Carlton were sort of the old case of basket back when he was departing.
So the Cats, the Blues, we don't know whether Paddy Cripps is playing. He was only 50-50.
Yeah, well, that'd be a big blow.
This is a dangerous little test for the Cats.
Yeah. It's a very dangerous
test. Because I think Carlton, I know they're only 2 games out, the Blues. A game and a half out. But I think they're not playing finals. So I reckon they've got 7 free hits coming.
Well, hopefully
and one of them is this week.
Hit them out of the park.
When did Carlton last play Geelong at the MCG?
Oh, back when sort of Jesus was the medical sub for Mount Sinai.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was that the week after the Easter incident?
No, that was the week after after Moses parted one down the middle and kicked one from 75 Jeff Ferring style. He was in a prodigious kick, Moses.
Was he?
Yeah, they reckon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they reckon that the Corinthians.
2010 was the last time Carlton and Geelong played at the MCG.
2010.
It was actually the Monday, the 26th of April. So that must have been the back when we used to have an Anzac Day holiday.
Yeah.
Which we don't have anymore. The Cats won by 36 points. Oh, no. Lost by 36 points, actually, to the Blues. Jeff Garlick kicked 3. Eddie Betts kicked 2. And who had the numbers for the... Bryce Gibbs had 28, Chris Judd had 27, Andrew Carrazzo had 27. For the Cats that afternoon, Gary Ablett kicked 2, junior. He had 33 as well. Simon Hogan played that day for the Cats.
Did he, old Hogs?
Yeah. James Podziadli, I think, was playing just his second...
George Fungus? Remember Hogs? Did George Fungus? 60 minutes.
That's right. Yes. George.
And I'm George Fungus.
Yes, mate. That was Pods' third game where he kicked 4 behinds from 14 disposals. Inaccurate, to say the least.
Yes.
From the Pods. Who else played that day for the Cats? It was a little bit out there. No, pretty much most of the
Simon Arnott?
Most of the 09...
Biscuits?
Actually, most of the 09 Premiership team actually played.
Oh, they just pulled their pants down in 10.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else have we got, King?
Would you like some questions, Ben?
We got any?
We do have a few.
I get asked a lot of questions and I have many answers, to be honest with you.
Question for this week's podcast. This is from Rosso.
Oh, yeah.
With Jez set to miss, does that allow Danger to spend more time forward and give Chook, Constable, that it would be, the opportunity to play in the guts after not just knocking down the door, but smashing it to smithereens?
Well, I'd like to say yes, but I'm not sure that it will. Radigalea comes in, and Higgins is probably ahead of Constable.
The other thing they've got to factor in, they've got a 5-day break off this week.
Yeah.
So they, I reckon they, I suspect there might be, if I was being conservative, there'll be four different, look, the four players different from Saturday to the next Thursday, I suspect. And it'll be interesting to see how, who they think they need to beat Carlton and who they then need to beat Fremantle. And I suspect that this might be where the skipper gets a rest.
This week?
I don't reckon this week. I reckon he doesn't go. Maybe not go to Perth.
Freos, you don't want to. You can't afford to let your guard
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I know. But at some stage, the skipper's got. He can't play 26 games.
North Melbourne doesn't play against
them. Oh, potentially. Yeah. Yeah, that might make sense. So you're not going to Tassie. Freezing cold day, and then you play the last three at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't want to make the Gary Ablett mistake from a couple of years ago.
Nah, he's a different beast, though, the skip. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine.
Also staying inside 50, Frank the Tank, that's Evans for Sean Marsh. Sean Marsh? I don't know whether he means Sean Higgins. Well, Higgins didn't play last week. Sean Marsh?
No, nah, that'd be a typo, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Mrs. Marsh?
Frank the Tank won't be playing.
Oh, it does get in.
This week. Botsmaster, just want to say how great it is to have Uncle Steve as the new Geelong CEO after his wonderful job of dismantling the Tigers' 2021 season. And should the Cats win the flag this year, I hope they parade him down Swan Street with blue and white confetti as a job well done. So, as if you didn't catch the news, Steve Hocking will be the new CEO of the Cats.
I did catch that.
Not really a surprise.
It's come a long way, isn't he? He's a picture framer and a bricklayer.
Yep.
And he's a CEO.
Yep.
Do you reckon he's got any sort of formal qualification?
Yeah, I believe he does, yeah. He's done some study.
What's he studied?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it one of those diplomas you do when you do it sort of between 9 and 10 one night, and then the next thing you know, you've got four letters after your name? I'm not sure that he has, to be honest with you. You don't need him, maybe. Obviously. Clearly.
University of Life? Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure he's done some study. He would have done
while he was laying bricks.
No, he would have done courses and stuff like that while he was through the Cats and all that sort of stuff. I think he's suitably qualified, Ben. You don't get to 2IC the AFL if you don't have some.
No,
sort
no
of
it's just, I'm just interested. I'm not saying he's not.
Great.
I'm just saying that he's. I'm not sure that he has.
Great session last week, and thanks for getting Domsey in. With Jezzer out for seemingly a month, given the abundance of caution that will be applied, what is the best course of action to cover him? Do we play back Sav to play the second key position forward and give him the confidence of you're in for a month and then use his presence as a chop-out for Stanley when needed that puts Blitz back in defensive 50 in the entire game? And to that, does Evans come in for Dullhouse to try and get more dynamic at the fall of the ball around goal as Dullhouse does not contribute on the scoreboard much? That's one scenario. Second, do we give Jenkins a shot with the same kind of parameters?
No.
Or is there a third option you have that's better?
That second option is no.
The reason I suggest Jenkins is he's not as physically gifted as Sav, but he is footy smarter, and Jones is best as third man over as Wiedering will take Tomahawk. In my opinion, Jenkins will draw his opponent away being smarter about the game than Sav would, in my opinion, giving Toma a better setup one-on-one.
Look, I'm not. I wouldn't argue against that, but I just if no.
No, I don't think Josh
Jenkins is
breaking case of many emergencies.
Oh, that is sort of like that'd be.
But you know what? We say that now, and guess what? When the team comes out 6:20, don't be surprised if Josh Jenkins is in it.
God, that'd be.
I would be. I.
If I'm having my engine and that's happening, I'm. There's going to be some, like, a blob of lamb korma thrown at the television.
Lots to cover this week. Scott out of contract at the end of 2022 currently. Not saying he won't get a new deal and not saying I think he should go. Clark out of contract and gone from the Hawks at latest end of 2022, maybe end of 2021, as those coaching handovers don't go smoothly in general. We have a new president, a new CEO, and a list that is, from an age perspective, top-heavy. A change in the message was the key to 2011, just saying. Surely Drummo, Craig Drummond, who's going to join us on Carroll Footy pregame Saturday, and Hawk would be on the phone at least asking.
Is he a golfer?
Who's that?
Drummond. Does he play?
I don't think he does.
What is he? I don't know anything about him, to be honest with you.
One thing. Nice guy.
Is he?
Nice guy.
Rodney Dangerfield style. Yeah. You know, Rodney Dangerfield went to the restaurant and he wrote out the front and it said, "The fish you eat today slept last night in Chesapeake Bay." And he goes to the wage and he goes, "I don't care where my fish slept. I don't care who it slept with. I only care how it's prepared." He was very funny, old Rodney Dangerfield. He reckoned that his mum didn't breastfeed him. She only liked him as a friend. That's true. Yeah,
there's some good, if you type in Rodney Dangerfield, Johnny Carson, there's some great appearances on the Johnny Carson show where Johnny Carson absolutely pandered Johnny and he absolutely
He's losing his SHIT.
Yep. Howler 41, surely now we go with Stanley in the ruck. Asava might have all the potential, but the time is now. When he kicks the ball, it's very Russian generals meeting at Kremlin style. Anything could happen. Question, is it harder to get into Fort Knox or for Fort to get into the Cats side? He could not possibly do any more. That is correct. He and Constable can't do much more at VFL level. But as Chris Scott said today when I asked about Charlie Constable, it's all good to be doing it all at VFL level. There has to be a spot for you.
Well, and that's Geelong have set this team up to win a premiership, and the spots are rare. They're hard to get.
Yep.
And there's players ahead of him. We don't dissect Richmond in the same fashion, but there's probably players at Richmond who play really, really good footy. And they actually, given the way Richmond are going now, they might get a crack. But up until now, they probably haven't been able to get a crack.
Yep.
So, you know, it's frustrating for fans and frustrating, no doubt, for players like Constable and Fort. But at the same time, it's good for the Cats. And the fact that we're able to lose Cameron and bring in Radigalia. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not suggesting he's Cameron, but a player who's as physically gifted as Radigalia, who has some runs on the board, is not a complete novice.
Yep.
That's your depth. That's how you win a premiership. So Geelong have built it. And unfortunately, guys like, you know, Constable and Narkle and these guys, it probably won't be there next year.
Yep. Thanks, Benny. We'll see you at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Do you know what you can say now in the pandemic that you previously probably wouldn't have been able to say without somebody looking at you sort of slightly with inner, I got jabbed.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official whack and noisin dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.